Who dare? It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
You know, the Olympics are finally over.
Are they really? I barely knew they were on.
Well, the reason I'm telling you they're over is because you didn't know they had started.
No.
So I figured I would tell you that they were over.
Did I miss anything good?
Well, what's interesting is, I mean, there's a lot that happened during the Olympics, and I think I just suggest you just go Google Beijing Olympics and just read all the drama that took place, mostly revolving around a Russian skater and whether or not she was doping and why she was doping and that sort of thing. But I just don't want you to miss this story because I think this was the most important story of the Olympics completely.
Mm.
There's a guy from Finland. He's a cross-country skier. His name is Remy Lindholm. And he suffered a very interesting injury. Now, you think about skiers and they get, I don't know, rotator cuff or knee injuries or back injuries. No. This guy has a frozen penis.
How does that happen?
Well, yeah, exactly. How does that happen? So, and here's the crazy thing. It's not the first time this happened to him. That's the weirdest thing about it.
Dude, stop making love to the snow. Stop it. Don't, your penis does not go in the snow.
I know you can love your sport, just don't love your sport.
The snow was just so hot. I couldn't help myself. Dude, you've done this before. You know what? I know. I just couldn't stop myself. What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, it's weird because there were other cross-country skiers. He wasn't alone doing this race, but for some reason, he's the only one that had a frozen penis. So the race, okay, so here's what happened. He's doing this race. And again, it's the second time this happened to him just this year alone. He was 28th in the race, and it was this cross-country skiing thing they were doing, but it was negative 17 degrees. And I guess he wasn't dressed properly. Everybody else was. He actually had put a heat pack in his underwear.
No, I think it was snowing, and somebody said, ah, fuck this snow, and he went...
Okay, I guess I will. It's been a lonely time here.
Okay, he said so, but it's happened twice this year.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
The kind of thing. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. If it happens once, if one time your dick gets frozen, you're like, yeah, never again. I'm avoiding that at all costs. Not mm-hmm. this guy. He just, in fact, there's photos of him. I don't know whether this is part of the training, whether he was like training his genitals or whatever. But there's actually photos of him relaxing in the snow in his underwear. He's laying in his underwear. And there's another one where he's training in his underwear. So clearly, he enjoys exposing himself to the elements.
Well, then that, he gets what he deserves. Because if that happened to me once, you would never see me leave the state of Florida, ever. No, right. You have to come to New York. No, never going to happen. Not going to happen again.
So here's what they say. They say the thin suits and underlayers worn by racers, as well as plasters that cover their face and ears, offer very little protection when the conditions are harsh like this, you know, below negative 17 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But competitive cross-country skiers manage to keep warm by generating body heat as they race. So a condition like that, that would normally cause hypothermia to everybody else, doesn't cause it in these people. Because they're working out real hard. They know how to warm up. Maybe because the guy was 28th in the race, he was going too slow and not burning enough calories and not getting warm enough.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But the fact that this happened to him twice, you know, once I'm like, oh my God, twice? Come on, that's on you now, dude.
Do you get gangrene? Or does it like turn colors? What happens?
Well, no, it's just, it's frostbitten. It's like as if you would, like hypothermia. But then, you know,
I don't want to go outside ever again.
No, but then you can you warm it back up. You know, you stick it in some hot water.
Like an Indian burn.
Right. You get like a significant other who's willing to be there for you during the cold times.
Oh, I'm never skiing again. I've never heard of this. I'm not going outside if it's under 50. That scares the crap out of me. Just things I've never heard of before.
Yeah, I've had like toes get cold and the tip of my nose and my ears, but by then I go in. Like I go inside or I bundle up a little bit more. This guy, I mean, by the time your genitals are completely frozen that you can no longer feel them, you're in the wrong business. Like maybe professional athlete is not the title for you.
So you've been that cold outside before?
Of course, who hasn't?
Me?
Well,
I mean, right now it's like 70 today, so tomorrow's going to be 73.
There's times that it's very cold and you underestimate how cold it is, or you're outside and, you know, you have everything with you. You just haven't bundled up because you didn't realize how cold it was, or it gets colder as you're out, or when the wind blows, like you're like, oh, it's not so bad. And the wind blows and you're like, holy schniggles, like this is awful.
Yeah, there was my whole life. Is me leaving my house, going to my garage, getting in my car, and then going to work and running from the parking lot to the door. So I'm not outside that often.
Right.
And the one time I was at Jamaica Station and it was blowing so hard, I thought I was going to die. I've never experienced anything like that before. But I didn't have frozen penis.
You weren't out long enough. You might have had frozen penis.
I thought I did. I thought everything in my body was frozen that day. That was crazy. That was, I got the word. It's like, it's going to be a nor'easter. I was like, I don't know what that is. That can't be that bad.
I'm from South Carolina. What does that even mean?
That can't be that bad. Oh, my God.
It's got Easter in the title. It must be like jelly beans and chocolate. This can't be bad at all.
And it's nor. So it's not nor. I don't know what that means. That means it's good. It's nor'easter. Okay. But dear God, if you've never experienced one of those before.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
Yeah, this guy experienced it more than once.
On Mr.
So,
Winky.
Yeah. On Mr. Winky, yeah. I'm just thinking, you know, at that point, you go, you know what? Maybe there's a spring and summer sport for me. Maybe I should do the Summer Olympics next time.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
Cool.
You tell me if you think this person is an asshole for blackballing their high school bully.
Okay.
All right, so here's the situation. This person, they don't say whether it's male or female, but the implication is that it's female. So let's go with her.
Mm-hmm.
She owns a big recruiting agency in her hometown. And she has business connections in a lot of like local industries. So she gets this resume from this guy who is back in their hometown and looking for a job. Well, it turns out the guy who's back in the hometown is her high school bully.
Oh, okay? No.
Yeah. So she said, listen, I'm straight now, but in high school, I was bi-curious, and the bully used to call me every homophobic slur in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she had OCD, and the bully knew about it. And would totally mess with her on purpose, you know, like doing things that would encourage her OCD and make her like more anxious and make things worse for her. Like the guy was a real.
He would knock like three times.
Yeah.
And make her crazy.
Right, exactly. Or like, I had a friend who was really OCD. We used to, this is so mean, but so she was really OCD about everything at her house in terms of where each thing lived, where each thing was.
Mm.
So she had this one table that she had to have a vase, and then next to the vase was like this little box where she kept, I don't know, like matches and candle stuff, whatever, and then a candle. So we used to move that stuff around.
Oh,
and
no.
Then she'd come back in and she'd move it back and she'd leave and we'd move it again. And, you know, she was like, stop it, you guys, because we knew that she had to have those three things together in a certain way. That was part of her OCD. And we would mess with her whenever she left the room. But, you know, her bad for telling us. But it was like that kind of stuff. Anyway, so she's a recruiter. She gets several resumes from this guy and different versions, like depending on like what job he's going for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like how you change your resume per job. Yeah. So here's her dilemma. She's wondering if she should just delete the resume and application and not forward it on to clients. Like just delete it, not deal with him. After all, this is the guy who bullied her. There was never like consequences to his actions. And now these are the consequences. That's mm-hmm. choice one. Choice two, forward the resume because that's her job. But let the clients that she knows well enough, let's say to them, listen, I have a personal history with this guy and it's not good. He's a bully. I don't know if he's still a bully, but he was kind of an asshole in high school. and I don't know if he's changed, but just heads up, he's not the greatest guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or number three, just let it go. You know, holding on to the past is worse. And pointing out that it's your high school bully really makes you look bad, because it's like, who thinks about high school anymore anyway? Like, that still bothers you. So it kind of makes her look bad to even bring it up. So those are your options. Does she delete the resume, just go on with her life and not even think about it? Does she let the clients know, here's the resume, but the person is an asshole? Or just send the resumes and let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, you can't do number two. You can't say, here's the resume, but this guy's an ass, because if he finds out, he can sue you.
Okay.
And for, you know, standing in his way of getting the job. And I've done that before, where somebody's called me and they were kind of a friend and they wanted to hire somebody that worked for me. And I kind of went, between you and me, I kind of would pass. But
right.
And I probably could have been sued for that. So, but employment agencies are the doorkeeper to the jobs. So she could just throw that resume away just because she doesn't like it. So there's no law that says you have to forward every single resume you get to that job. You don't. That's why they hire her, is to weed out the assholes.
Oh, so if she deletes the resume and doesn't even forward it, nobody knows other than her,
right?
No one's going to be like, hey, how come you didn't send that resume? The guy who sent the resume will just think he just didn't get the job.
Yeah, because that's why you hire these people, because you don't want to go through 900,000 resumes. You only want to go through five.
Right.
So the gatekeeper will narrow the 900,000 down to five and then send you the five, and then you go through those. So he could just be one of the many resumes that gets deleted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's how she handles it.
So that's what she should do. She should just delete the resume, not the third one, which is just send the resume on, let the chips fall where they may, and just get on with your life and stop holding grudges.
Yeah, because if you're an employment agency, that job is counting on you to hire the best people. So if you let a douchebag, even if they were a douchebag in high school, they're probably still a douchebag. If you let a douchebag through, then they might not hire you again to look for another job.
Yeah. You know, I thought about it and I was thinking, like, just sending the resume and letting it go is probably the healthiest thing you can do. Just like, whatever, get the job, don't get the job. I'm over this. But I think it depends on what the job is, you know, what the industry is. So, for example, like if it's something in the entertainment industry, those are highly competitive jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like you as a recruiter you're not going to find anybody else who's good enough. There's going to be tons of people that are good for that job. So don't start with somebody that you know is a complete asshole. And I agree with you. I have to say, as somebody who understands personality and development and that kind of thing, because that's what my PhD is in, I have to say, like, personality does not change a lot over time. It really doesn't. And even though he's probably no longer a bully, I mean, he might be for all we know, but he's not likely an actual bully as an adult, he's probably not a great human being either. Because think about it. Were you a bully in high school? I wasn't.
No.
Right.
No.
So the kind of person that was a bully in high school is probably a jerk as an adult in other ways. Like, maybe not in bully ways, but in other ways. Like, maybe they're the kind of person that, you know, if they're up for a job, maybe they'll sabotage somebody else to not get that job so that they get it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? They might do something that is very, like, self-serving, which is what bullies are. Like, the fact that you bullied somebody in high school so badly that they remembered you all these years later says there's something vicious and wrong with you. Like, if you're the kind of person that's remembered, like, you know, it's so funny, like, every once in a while I'll get on Facebook, I'm like never on Facebook, but once in a while I'll get on Facebook, I'll get a message from somebody and they'll be like, hey, I saw you on TV, or I read a blah 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 about you. And I'm like, oh, who are you? I don't even know who they are. And turns out there's somebody that I went to high school with. And I didn't have a very big high school. I mean, there was 220 people in my class. That's not a lot of people. Yeah, I don't remember anybody. I remember like two people from high school. So if you bullied me, I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You probably did. I don't really, it's been so long. I just don't think about stuff like that.
And you're great with names.
Yeah.
You remember everybody's name. I remember nobody's name. So the people that bullied me in junior high and high school, I have no idea what their name is.
And we didn't really have a lot of bullies. I guess that was the other thing about my high school, because it was so small. I can't speak for everybody. There must be some people that felt bullied and some people that did some bullying. But in my circles, the people I hung out with, nobody bullied anybody. Nobody was bullied. Nobody did the bullying. Like, that wasn't a thing. That wasn't like, you know, we were all just trying to get laid. Like, we didn't have time to worry about bullying. It was all like, does that boy like me or not? Is he like you? Okay, you go with that boy. I'll go with the other boy. You know what I mean? That's all we cared about in high school. That and I guess getting good grades was important too.
Yeah, none of my thing. No, when I went to high school, my first year of high school, my brother was a senior. So nobody was going to mess with me with him there. And I think the first 3 or 4 days I was there, I went up to the biggest guy I could find and became his best friend. So nobody's going to mess with me when I got my brother over here who was bigger than me. And then I got a guy that was 320 pounds that I hung out with every day. You're not going to mess with me then. So I lucked out.
Yeah. I guess, you know, for my girlfriends, nobody was really envious of anybody else because we all had our thing. Like, I had one friend that played basketball. I had one friend that played softball. I was a cheerleader. Another friend that was not into sports at all and was really into smoking pot. Like, everybody had their thing and nobody was in competition with anybody because nobody, like, I had no friends who were, it's not that I wasn't friendly with the cheerleaders. It's just that I was a freshman cheerleading on the varsity squad, not because I was anything special, just because I was really small and they needed a little tiny girl that they can put on top of the pyramid and nobody was as small as me. Everybody was like normal size.
You're in.
I mean, you know, 5'2", 97 pounds. They were like, okay, she's good. Stick her on top of them. So I didn't, those girls were seniors, so I wasn't friends with any of them. I barely knew them. I was just happened to be on the cheerleading squad with them. None of my friends were cheerleaders. So that was just like, you know, it's like this weird job that I had outside school. Just like I had this one girlfriend who was like a major softball player. I think she almost got into the Olympics. She was so good. She was on all these teams outside of school. You know, that was just like her weird thing that she did. Like everybody had their own thing. And none of it crossed over on anybody else. So there was no competition. That's why, like, you know, I'll get on Facebook once in a while and hear from somebody I haven't spoken to in a long time. And I'm happy to hear from them. Not like that bitch. Mm. Like there was none of that with my friends.
That girl wants to have some fun.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
You want to live like Gene Simmons?
I don't think so. He doesn't look happy to me.
He's very happy. He's Gene Simmons.
He's wealthy. He doesn't strike me as happy. In fact, when I watch Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, and whenever I see interviews with him, I don't get the impression that he's living his best life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he always wants more.
I completely disagree with you. I think he's living the best life. If you see him around girls on stage, around his wife, his mansion that he lives in, the cars he drives, he's doing quite all right.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you that he has lots of stuff. I'm telling you that he doesn't strike me as somebody who's happy.
If I was Gene Simmons, I don't think I'd stop smiling ever. But now, if you want to live like Gene Simmons, you can buy his house. And his house in Las Vegas now has been up for sale for a while now.
That's what I'm saying. That's not good. Why is your house for sale? Why has it been for sale for so long? That is not the marker of somebody whose life is good. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's selling it for $13.5 million. He bought it in 2021 for $10.8 million. So he's trying to make $3.5 million because he's Gene Simmons.
Well, let me guess. Here's what I think. I think the house is probably worth $6.2 million. They sold it to him for 10 because he's Gene Simmons and not a real estate agent, and he's trying to sell it for 13 because he's Gene Simmons, someone wants to buy Gene Simmons' house.
11,000 square feet, has an 11-car garage. That's the key to my heart right there. 11-car garage.
Yeah, you want lots of cars.
I want lots of cars. Yes. So you can buy it for $13.5 million, but if you don't have the money to buy it, he says he will accept Bitcoin, Litecoin, Polkadot, Avenue, Tri, or a combination of any one of those cryptocurrencies for his house.
Why?
Because he said he's been an outspoken fan of cryptocurrency from the beginning. He thinks it's the future of money, and it just makes sense that he will accept that money to buy his house.
Here's the thing. $13 million in real estate these days is bupkis. I mean, I can't afford it, but I'm just saying the kind of people that are in the million-dollar range of house buying, $13 million is pocket change. And I'll tell you exactly why. I just had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine. She loves to check out Long Island real estate. Now, living in New York City, Long Island to us means the Hamptons. And there was a time that we would hear about houses for sale in the Hamptons that would go for like $20 million or $30 million. Those days are long gone, long gone. There is a house for sale right now. It's a big, giant piece of property that has, I think, a couple of houses on it. It is going for $175 million.
And you have to live on Long Island?
No, no, you don't understand. This is somebody's summer home. This is the Hamptons. It's not like regular Long Island. It's the Hamptons.
It's still Long Island to me.
Well, it's 42 acres.
Wow.
It's
just,
yeah. That's just one house. It was originally built for Henry Ford, as in the cars, Ford. Okay. And it's a giant piece of property right on the water, of course, because you spent $175 million, it better be. There's another one that just sold. Somebody bought this. It's a house for $145 million, 20,000 square feet, 42 acres, 12 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms.
42 acres on the Hamptons.
Yeah. There's another one. This one's cheap. This one was only $88
million. Oh, pfft. Will they take Bitcoin for that?
Yeah, here's another $72 million. Remember, this is these are people's summer homes. This is not the place that people live all year long. This is their summer home. $72 million, 20,000 square feet in the Hamptons. Another one, $75 million. Here's another one that's super cheap, $56
million. Oh, we can buy that.
that one only has 8 bedrooms, 25 acres.
And it only takes you 4 days to get there from the city. In
true.
Traffic. I think Bitcoin is worth like $4, maybe $5. So if you want to buy Gene Simmons' house and you have a couple of Bitcoin laying around, there you go.
What's your thought on Bitcoin?
I liked it up until like 6 months ago when the bottom fell out.
Right.
So I was like, well, maybe we should buy some. I don't know where to buy it. To me, I hate gambling of any type. Then that is a huge gamble.
Hey, hey, listen. The world's famous.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Let's listen in.
Okay, so here's a couple of things that you probably do at a restaurant. Not you, because you're not very nice. But here's a bunch of things that most people do at a restaurant that you're trying to be polite. But as somebody who has been a bartender and a waitress before, these are the kind of things that our waiters hate this stuff. We hated it. Okay, so for example, and as somebody that was also a hostess, when you walk in and you see the hostess is seating somebody else and they're asking her questions, and you're like, ah, I don't want to bother her. There are the menus. There's a table. Let me just grab a couple of menus and we'll seat ourselves.
No, you people know? Do not do that.
As somebody who was a hostess at restaurants for many years, yeah, they fucking do.
Do they really? The balls on them.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what level of restaurant. I've worked at, like, little Mexican joints, and I've worked at high-end restaurants. It does not matter what level of restaurant you're working at, because you figure, like, you know, like a little Mexican joint, there's a table, I'll grab a, you know, burrito, no big deal, I'll go sit there. You'd think that makes more sense. I've worked at some really high-end restaurants, like reservation-only restaurants, and people still walk right in and they just seat themselves. Happens all the time. So the problem is you don't know the restaurant's system for seating parties. And the one system that we have is you have to make sure that it's equitable for all the waiters. So you can't right. keep seating people in one section because that waiter is going to get too busy and not be able to serve you. And then you have a whole other section that's completely empty. It's just not how it works. You know, you have to do it waiter by waiter. Or maybe, you know, you're snagging a table that we're waiting for the people next to them to finish eating so we can push that together because we have a reservation for a large party coming.
Right. So you're waiting for that table to get up, hurry up and get done. I understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't know what the deal is, so don't do that. Wait for the hostess. Don't ignore the specials. And here's the thing that you might not realize. A lot of restaurants you go to, especially in New York City, but the chef is really into getting the freshest. They go to the farmer's market. They have special deliveries that they put together just for you for those specials. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and a lot of waiters, you got to memorize all that stuff. So just, you know,
and it's
let
cheap.
Them tell you. Yeah, let them tell you. Don't interrupt. You know what I mean? Let them just go in. You might find something there that you really are interested in. Let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Don't chat up your server. Take a cue from your server. If the server is a chatty person, chat right back. But once you start, what's your name? And you're talking to them. And this is my wife. And we just came from the theater. And have you seen Music Man yet? That's the problem is, if even the restaurant doesn't look busy to you, the server may have other things to do, like prepping for the busy time. And a lot of, or it might be like, I worked in one restaurant where there was a door to our back restaurant. So a lot of waiters had to go do stuff at the back restaurant. And you don't know that if you don't never been there before and you come to the front, you know, how would you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, don't chat up the server.
Well, the thing that drives me nuts is when I go out and let's say I take my son. So my son, we sit down, we get the menus, and then he gets on his phone and starts playing on his phone.
Yeah.
So then 5 minutes into it, I'm like, well, what do you want? Oh, I haven't looked. So no, when that waiter comes up, you better know exactly what you want, how you want it cooked, and what you want as a side.
When I used to wait tables, I used to think of things in terms of like every table had a checklist. So if somebody was just sitting down, the first thing on the checklist was drink order. So I would come over. What would you do? You want something to drink? Do you want something from the bar? Can I get you a bottle of wine? You know, that was the first thing on my checklist.
Mm-hmm.
So if I walk over and you start ordering food, that I'm happy to do it if you're not having drinks, but that will throw me off a little bit, to be honest. If I've brought you your drinks, taken your appetizer order, maybe like fired up some appetizers for you, and then I come to get your food order and you're still not ready, and then another table comes in, I'm going over to them and I'm going to start my checklist in my mind with them. So when you're ready to order, I might not be around.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, if your son is playing on his phone instead of ordering, you're going to wait longer to get your order into the kitchen, especially if it becomes a busy kitchen. That's the other thing. Like, okay, so if you walk in, it's not that busy, but you're there at like 7:30, we're about to get slammed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take too long to order, the person that came in after you, their order's going in. And then the next person's order, a kitchen doesn't fire up your food based on when you came in. They fire it up based on when I put the order in.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're hungry and you want to get out of there, sit down and order.
Yeah, and I am that guy that when you come to take my drink order, I'm going to tell you what I want to eat too. Come on, let's go.
That's fine. No, I'm fine with that. I can go down the checklist. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to clean up your own mess. Like if you break a glass or something, restaurants have gotten in trouble. So if you break a glass and there's a piece of glass there, it could end up in your water glass, on the floor, somewhere where you don't even, do you know what I mean? Like where the waiter wouldn't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
So if you break a glass, call the waiter over and tell them, let them clean it up. Because they're experienced in this. They know where to look for all the little shards of glass. That way you're not responsible if glass ends up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you might cut yourself grabbing a piece of glass. We don't want our customers having to deal with that. You know what I mean? That's part of the service. You break a glass, we clean it up.
Got it. Never knew that.
You know? Also, don't help yourself to a refill. That's really important. So if your glass is low and you help yourself to like a pitcher of tea that's a few steps away, if the manager sees you helping yourself, the server is getting an earful. And the thing is, you don't know if the server is lazy or if you're impatient. The manager doesn't know. The manager just does not want the customer doing that sort of thing.
I know, but if I've been sitting there for 15 minutes and you have not refilled my drink, I'm going to do it myself. I'm not abiding by that one.
Here's a solution. If you know that you go through your tea fast and you want more, ask for two glasses. That way the server will fill you up two glasses, and then they can go back and deal with other customers.
I don't like that, because then you're going to charge me for two.
Here's the last... No, they don't charge you. It's refills. It's free refills. So here's the last two things that are really important. Do not wait till the end of the meal to split your check. Give your server the heads up at the very beginning. Hey, listen, we're a couple, they're a couple, we're going to want separate checks. Mm-hmm. Tell them ahead of time, because that way, a lot of the way the system, I mean, some of the systems now you can split the check after, but not everybody has those updated computer systems. I know they should, but they don't, you know. So if you're going to split the bill, say that up front. And the last one is, don't save your complaints for Yelp. If you end up with the wrong dish, or you didn't like the server, or something happened that you didn't like, ask for the manager or complain to the server. Let them try to fix it right there. Mm-hmm. Because they'll be like, oh, you know what? It is our bad. Your dessert is on us. Your meal is on us. Give them a chance to, or the next time you come in, your meal is on, however they want to do it. You know what I mean? Give them a chance to make the situation better right there in the moment, rather than waiting till you get home and then writing something really nasty when they could have done something to help you.
You know, I wonder also if managers are nicer now to give you a free dessert or to comp your meal because of things like Yelp that exist.
Oh, 100%. I have a lot of friends in the food and hospitality industry. They have all told me that, yeah, they live and die by Yelp.
Oh, they're scared to death of it.
Yeah, which is why a lot of them, they hire people to put a good Yelp review.
Right.
Yeah, so when you go to a restaurant and you see the Yelp reviews, try to find the ones that look honest.
Well, I think when you look at reviews anyway, you look at the really good ones, and then I always go to the one-star reviews, and I want to see if it's a real review or just a pissy customer.
Right, like what did you not like? Did you not like something stupid that was your fault, or did you not like something that was genuinely the fault of the manufacturer, the restaurant, the, you know, whatever you were reviewing?
Yeah, when I look at a TV and I see a one-star review, I go and click on it and they say it was shipped without a cord.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the TV
the
I want to buy.
Quality of the TV, yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
You got me straight tripping, boo.
That's right.
That's right.
Flashback.
These are the sounds of days that are past.
What are you doing, Chad?
My parents have come to visit from South Dakota, so we'll be going to see see if there's any cows around here.
Now, how long has it been since your parents have come to visit you here?
2 weeks.
About a year.
Oh, okay.
I see my parents like twice a year as well.
Okay, that's not so bad. Oh, is that good or bad? I don't know.
No, it'd be nice to be able to see them more often than that.
And it's fun. What do you guys, did you guys get together and do fun things?
Sit around and watch the grass grow?
Well, it depends on some days we'll just kind of sit out and chill. Tomorrow is an active day. We have some events planned, things going on, and kind of play it by ear.
Tomorrow's like a tampon commercial.
It is, actually.
I can swim.
Yes.
I can horseback ride. I can jog.
Right. Hopefully there won't be any swimming. Because if there is, we'll be in trouble because we're going to be on a boat.
Okay.
And if they're swimming, something has gone terribly wrong.
Now, her parents are a little nutty. He likes to talk about the weather all the time.
Yes.
And how much rain and all that kind of stuff. Have your parents and her parents met?
Oh, yeah. They live in the same town.
Do they hang out regularly?
No.
They have no relationship other than...
A little bit here. If they see him out and about, they'll chat.
They'll see him at the local Hardee's or whatever.
Right.
But they don't make any plans to get together?
Not really.
Your parents only talk about the weather?
Well, I think everybody likes to talk about the weather,
but not
they?
All the time.
No, nobody likes to talk about the weather all the time.
Are in-laws supposed to be friends with each other?
if they live in the same town.
Especially if they live in the same town.
Well, they weren't friends before we got together, so I guess there's no reason they.
No, but of course they weren't friends. They didn't know each other. They met through you guys.
Right.
Mine
are friendly to each other. I don't know if they're friends, but they're friendly.
Well, what I mean is I realize they're friendly, like if there's a family event and everyone's there, no one's beating each other up, I would imagine. But do they actually make plans and hang out together separately when you guys are not around?
The yours, Anthony?
No.
Never
yours,
at all.
Yours don't?
No.
But they don't live in the same town either.
They don't live in the same town. They live about 2 hours away from each other.
Are they very different from each other? How come they don't hang out?
Because they live about 2 hours away. But I don't even think if they lived next door to each other, they would really hang out. Two different lifestyles, two totally different people.
Yeah.
Four totally different people, I should say.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Couldn't be any different.
My parents, as you know, prefer Sean Lee to me. So, of course, they love his parents.
Do they really?
And here's the weird thing. His parents are divorced, yet my parents continually invite them both places. And because they don't want to be rude, or they actually like my parents. I think they do. They all show up. But it's weird and uncomfortable for Sean's parents to be, not weird and uncomfortable, but it's like, it's not like they're a couple.
Right. Even after all these years, it's still a little odd.
Yeah. They get along well. They seem to tolerate each other. No one's mad at anybody. But it's still weird. Yet, my parents continually, they do this. They love them so much. They can't get enough of them. And I think Sean's parents have gotten plenty of my parents. I think they've reached their limit with my parents. Because my mom is constantly inviting Sean's dad to do stuff. And she always wants to have parties.
That's weird.
And is it vice versa? Does he invite your parents to do stuff, or is it a one-way kind of deal?
It's totally one way. I mean, yeah. They have invited my parents up to Connecticut for Easter. Mm-hmm. If they're doing something at the house with the whole family.
But you guys would be there, too.
Yeah, we're there, too. Yeah.
Then that's fine. But if they're up there separately,
but your parents invite his parents to do stuff when you guys aren't even there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And my mom loves Sean's mom. They have a lot in common. They're the exact same age. They both love Sean more. That's 100% true for both of them. But yeah, my parents can't get enough of them. And I think my parents could be a little overwhelming, I think, for people, especially my mom and my dad. They're both very overwhelming, as you can imagine, the seed that I've come from.
Yeah.
The apple does not fall far.
But yeah, if I called my mom and said, hey, what are you doing? I'm out with the in-laws. That'd be weird.
You go, what?
What? Because they would talk about secrets. I don't know. It would just be weird.
Said,
it's two worlds colliding.
I was at Walmart and we ran into the in-laws. We had a nice chat.
Yeah, that's fine.
That would be understandable.
Chat has to last 5 minutes max.
Yeah.
See, I can't tell which is more unusual. The fact that Chad's in-laws and his parents all live in the same town and they don't hang out, or the fact that, the thing that you guys have, Anthony, you have grandchildren for them. So you would think that they would want to bond because of the grandchildren. It's almost like saying, I don't know if this Chad and Mrs. Chad thing's going to work out because there's really no kids involved.
You're right. You are right.
So let's not become too close.
Right.
Because, any day now it could be over. Whereas you guys, the grandchildren, sort of, that's the glue. Now they're all stuck with each other for life. That's it. They're the grandparents of those little boys. You'd think they would try to make more of an effort to have to be, family.
You have a point, but one set of parents live way north, one set of parents live way south. So it's not like they're even close to each other.
Are you talking Maine and Florida here or what?
We live in the middle of the north and south, right smack dab in the middle of both the parents. So, and like I said, they couldn't be any different. They have nothing in common.
Yeah, they have the kids in common. So
That's the only thing they have in common. They have nothing in common.
They don't email or call.
No.
See, I feel bad because my mom can be very overwhelming, and she really loves Sean's dad. And she doesn't seem to grasp the fact that he's not just allergic to cats. He will die. Like, if he is around a cat for more than a second, you got to call 911.
That's where Sean gets it.
Yeah. But my mother continually wants to have dinner parties at her house and invite Sean's dad.
Cat Central.
Okay. Cat Central.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at it this way.
And she says, wait. And she says, can he take a pill?
Like Sean.
It's like, no, he can't take a pill. So why don't you make some other plan with him? Why does it have to be about what's good for you? But she wants to show him the house, and she just wants to be around him. He's one of those guys. He's fun to be around. He's a raconteur, exactly, Chad. He tells great stories. He's, you know, this is a guy who at one point was on Broadway, and he knows famous people, and he's got very funny stories. It's fun being around him. So, and she's, you know, theater girl. So she fancies herself that she thinks that they're colleagues in some way.
Right. All right. Think. So let's say, God forbid, something happened to your dad and his mom, and your mom and his dad got together. Is that weird?
If my mom and
Sean Lee's dad
got together,
yeah,
I'd be thrilled for them.
Would you really?
I would.
See, I wonder if that has ever happened, something that weird with the parents.
Like in-laws marrying each other.
Right.
Or like a sister from one family and a brother from another.
And a brother from another.
So has that happened in your family? Has there been like a weird intermarriage after they were, like, did you guys introduce your sister to her brother and they got married, or your father to her mother and they got married?
Because
8776 Cooper.
Because half a second we were going to hook up Fredo with my sister-in-law. My brother with her sister, but that never worked out. So that could have happened.
That's weird. Can you imagine if, I mean, I know how you feel about Fredo now, but let's say he was still in good graces. He didn't dishonor the family.
He's not a, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a.
I can't say it.
Yeah, he's not a Richard. how would that be if he married your sister-in-law? So that would make your sister-in-law still your sister-in-law,
that would make
yes.
me my brother. No.
you'd be your brother.
Wow.
You'd be your own brother. Your sister.
I would be my grandson.
Your sister-in-law would be your mother.
Wow.
Wait a minute. And that would make your wife your daughter. You can't do that.
No, it would make my wife my son. So you got it too confused.
Oh, okay. I get it now. Angie, who hooked up at your house?
Well, it was my friend's house, and they, like, the parents did a whole, like, wife swap thing. The in-laws broke up. Both sets of in-laws broke up and married the other spouses.
That didn't happen.
It seriously did.
Like a real wife swap.
Yeah, totally.
And how did your friend deal with it?
I think he's still in therapy.
Are they still together, both sets?
No, one set made it and the other one didn't.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
It's
so, like, their parents, like, they were all siblings then.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Really creepy.
But for the couple that it did work out for, you know, good for them. You never know where you're going to meet somebody, I guess.
I guess, yeah, that's one way to meet people at family gatherings.
So her father-in-law is now also her stepfather.
Yep.
And her brother.
Well, yeah.
And she's her mother's grandmother.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's like, Chad, if your mother married her father.
Right. Then that would make Chad and Mrs. Chad cousins.
I know. And now you understand a little behind the scenes insight. Why I'm not typing anything on what people are saying, because I can't follow it. My sister's brother married this. Like, what's your name? That's all I can remember.
Hey, Ashlyn.
Hey, Cooper.
Now, Ashlyn, how weird is the family tree now?
Well, my grandparents are married, and my grandfather's brother, no, I'm sorry, my grandfather's sister and my grandmother's brother are married.
Wow.
And then my grandfather's sister and my grandmother's cousin are married.
Is it a small town?
It is a very small town. It's actually Happy Valley, which is in Caldwell County.
Oh, so it's not like they had a choice.
Yeah, there's probably 30 people in their high school, so.
So you gotta marry somebody, and someone's gonna be related to somebody else.
Oh yeah.
Do you have three heads?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Wow, that's really interesting. But I feel like that's something that was more common back then, because I think, now that you say it, Ashlyn, I think my grandparents had the same situation where my grandfather's brother married my grandmother's sister at some point down the road.
Wow.
I didn't know this actually happened.
Of course it happens.
I was just joking.
Well, it happens, obviously. Like aunts marrying uncles and cousins marrying each other and cousins from separate sides of the family, I guess.
Dogs and cats.
Living together. Mass hysteria.
Okay, so who married who? Do you have like a wacky family tree? Is your family tree completely intertwined with somebody else's family tree? 877-6-COOPER. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi.
Cheryl, who married who and who made who's whatever?
Well, I have actually two family scenarios. I remembered another as I was on hold.
Oh, no.
His sister married her daughter's husband's father. She was divorced, and he was widowed, so they were both single when they met.
Mm-hmm.
And they met, I think, at the wedding. And they just really fell for each other, and they've been married for years now.
Oh, it worked out.
And then my sister-in-law, Ruth, I shouldn't give her name out, after she divorced my brother, she married a man, and her daughter, my niece, married her mother's husband's brother. So when she had a child, I think that technically makes her a cousin of her own son.
Right. because she married her uncle.
It made her sort of like a sister-in-law to her own mother. There's even some more bizarre connections if you just sit and think about it for a while.
Wow. She's her mother's sister-in-law.
Brother.
And her son is really her cousin because she married her uncle.
Yes, somehow it works out that her granddaughter is also her niece.
Wow.
It's just really, truly bizarre.
That must be the... seriously, if they ever try and do a genealogy of that family, they would just be like, forget it.
Monkey.
Just forget it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl. That's an interesting one, don't you think?
I couldn't follow that.
I don't understand why I couldn't follow along with that one.
I got that one. That one made sense
Did
to me.
Did you really?
Yeah, it made perfect sense to me. She married her uncle.
Ooh.
The girl, her friend.
Is that legal?
There was a mother and a daughter. Never mind. Hi, Randy.
Hi.
Randy, okay, who married who and made it all crazy in the family?
Well, this isn't actually my family, but it's my best friend. She has a niece who married her cousin, and it's like nowadays. But the cousin was actually from like a second marriage, so it was really not a blood relative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they grew up together, going to family reunions and going here and there, and then they decided they were in love and they got married. And so I met her at my friend's dad's funeral, and I was like, oh, well, how'd you guys meet? Because they were just married, like just newlyweds. And they're like, well, actually, we're cousins. And I was going, what?
Oh, wow.
We're cousins.
So then they had, no, you know what? They didn't tell me they were cousins. The girl's sister was standing right there. She goes, they're cousins. Because they think it's funny to tell, and the couple is embarrassed about it because it's misconstrued.
Right, because they're not really blood relatives.
No, not really. Yeah. But they did kind of grow up cousins.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I know. It's funny to tell people that, though. It's funny to freak them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Randy.
That happen a lot in South Dakota, Chad?
No. No, there you marry your cousin's cow.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a whole different, thing. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Now, Mary, who married who and married someone in the family and it's all wacky now?
Well, again, this is a best friend thing. This is my best friend's father.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother died, and he's in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he hooked up with his daughter-in-law. And she was still married to his son.
Whoa.
And my friend took him on vacation, and he said that he had a lady friend, and that what it turned out to be was her own sister-in-law. And here's the sad part, is that the sister-in-law has two very young children, probably 6 years old is the oldest.
And is the guy's son the father?
Pardon me?
Is the guy's son is the father, or is the father the father?
nope, the guy's son is the father. Now, then the father, the son and the daughter-in-law are now divorced, and grandpa and mom are married.
Okay, so their stepfather is also their grandfather.
Yes.
Oh,
how
my.
Are you following this?
That has got to be a Springer episode.
My friend said, oh, my God, I'm going to be on Springer.
I'm very good with this sort of abstract thinking, Anthony. That's how I can follow it.
Yeah. It's like a flowchart kind of thing.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
Brings a whole new meaning to granddad.
That's true.
Who's your granddaddy?
Who's your grand? Thank you, Mary. I'm glad you think that's funny.
Who's your granddaddy?
Gross. Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Now, Liz, who married who and made some crazy family thing happen?
Well, my grandparents were married, had my uncle and my mom, and then my grandma passed away, and my grandpa ended up marrying one of my grandma's cousins, so it wasn't his blood relative, but then my mom's stepmom was also, like, her first cousin once removed or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they got divorced, and my grandpa died several years ago, and I go with my mom to her cousin reunions, and we see this cousin of hers who was also her stepmother for a while.
How weird.
Yeah.
And did they have a good relationship at all?
I don't think so. Well, my mom's fine with her. My dad despises her.
Mm. See, I feel like with some of those situations, people just can't get past the situation, so they're so angry, whereas the person could be very lovely.
Well, there was some icky alimony stuff or something. But my mom was trying to explain this to me several years ago, and I didn't understand it, and I just thought I came from this weird incestual family or something. It took me a while to put it together.
It's true. But it was a step. I lost it already. I was with you for a second, then I totally lost it. Yeah, I got it. Thank you, Liz. Sorry about that.
If you see something shiny, you totally lose it.
I did. That's what happened.
There's no way you can follow that.
No, I followed all of them. I'm pretty good at this.
Are you sketching?
No. I'm thinking abstractly. Okay, Sam, what kind of wacky family tree you got going on?
Mine, we didn't know it until after long, many years, when we found out our family tree has a hole in the middle of the trunk.
Oh, no.
And squirrels are just jumping through it.
Along with my grandmother, when she found out, we found out my great-grandfather, or is that two greats? I don't know. Had actually married his half-sister.
Okay, half-sister.
Not stepsister.
But half-sister.
Half-sister.
Oh. That means same daddy.
They have the same, one of the same parents.
Yeah.
Same father.
They shared DNA is the point, yeah.
Yes, they did. That does, however, explain the six toes on the right foot and the three ears.
No!
He's joking. You're joking. You're joking, right?
I'm joking.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam.
Wow. See, I don't know how you do that.
What?
You follow it.
I know, really.
And how do you look at your stepsister or half-sister and go, how you doing?
Yeah. Well, that one's easy enough to follow. It's just really creepy.
I think it makes more sense to set up your in-laws. Because that makes more sense.
No, I want to hear more how you doing your stepsister.
Oh, no.
Your half-sister, how you doing?
Okay, how wacky is your family tree?
Hooking up at the family reunion.
Hooking up at the family reunion. I'm not even kidding you. If my dad left my mom, I'd be thrilled if my mom married my father-in-law. I think they'd be very happy together. I'd be happy for them. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Heather, what's going on in your crazy family?
Well, my mom and dad divorced, like, over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 years ago, my aunt divorced also, and this is my mother's oldest sister.
Right.
And then my aunt and dad decided to start dating, and they're married now. And so my cousins are now my step-siblings, and so, you know, my dad is also my uncle. Found out they were dating, that was my same reaction.
Oh, wow.
And wait, are you like, Dad, I hate Uncle Dad?
Yes. Uncle Dad. You know, and now my aunt's my stepmom, and it's just all weird.
But do you like her?
Oh, yeah, she's the coolest. Like, she would, before she got married to my dad, she'd take me out, and we'd do stuff together, and like, I'm to drinking age, and so she'd take me out for drinks and stuff like that. But now, like, not so much.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Now so it's not that weird. You found a way to work around it.
Yeah, but, like, now we don't hang out anymore. I mean, like, she's my... I know it's not that West Virginian kind of sort of thing, but it kind of is to me.
But now... did she thank your mother for introducing her to her husband?
No, not really. Believe it or not, my mom was actually okay with it. You know,
really?
She's like, whatever. She goes, if they're happy, they're happy.
Your mom didn't go to the wedding, though, did she?
Yes, she went to the wedding. It was her oldest sister.
Oh, okay, well, she didn't marry her, the woman's ex-husband. I would understand if she didn't want to go.
Well, yeah, I would have too, but yeah, she went.
Wow.
I just hope there was no, like, sisterly advice given, you know?
You know what he really likes?
Thank you, Heather. Thanks, Heather. Oh man. Elizabeth, is your family tree just absolutely bent out of shape?
Oh, God, bent out of shape?
Oh,
are you kidding?
How bad?
It's not my real name, and I can't do that, because if I did, I'd get in so much trouble.
Okay, so it's really Gwyneth Paltrow. Go ahead.
Right.
Okay. I have a sister who, my younger sister, who went up to take care of my older sister's newborn, and started to have an affair with her husband.
Yeesh.
So eventually, my older sister divorced her husband. And
how did she find out?
Receipts and stuff, things like that, and people telling her what was, and the maid in the house and stuff, because this guy's a millionaire.
Mm.
Maid in the house kind of said, there's things going on when you're not here, because she was a Macy's general manager in New York, and so she'd fly back and forth every week.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in Michigan, and eventually what happened is my younger sister got divorced from her husband, and then she married my sister's husband.
They actually ended up getting married? Wow.
Yeah, they got married. They've been married, oh God, I don't know, 15 years?
Wow.
And was
let's see, 1994, that would be 14 years. Yeah.
And was she as cool about it as Heather's family? Did they all go to each other's wedding and stuff?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Oh, my God. My parents disowned my younger sister. Really were upset with her for what she had done. She had no conscience about what she had done.
Right.
And my older sister ended up finding a really neat guy.
Oh, so she ended up with somebody good. Okay, I'm
so
glad to hear that.
But,
yeah, it all worked out.
I mean, this is really weird. Now my younger sister is the stepmother and the aunt of her two nephews from my older sister.
Wow. That's so confusing at that house.
I can't follow that one.
So you got to get, Mother's Day cards and
nephew cards.
Exactly.
Yeah,
wow. Thanks, Elizabeth. Oh, whatever your name is. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing?
Now, Mike, how wacky is your family tree?
Well, I'm not really going to talk about my family, but I'm from central Minnesota, and mm-hmm. we have some large Catholic families around there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my neighbors actually had a family of, I don't know, I think it was 9 kids, and not 2, not 4, but 6 of that family ended up marrying 6 of another family.
Wow!
Wow!
it's so weird, the odds of that even happening.
I don't know. I think it would be probably around 1 in a couple 100,000.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't even seem like it would be possible. I could see, like, a sister marrying, the same brother in the family, but 6 kids marrying 6 other kids.
Yeah, of 2 separate families. I don't know if they were all brothers marrying all sisters or if they were mixed, but
right.
It was siblings and siblings, you know.
That's some family reunion. That's a really close family.
Can you imagine Christmas? You just come over to one house, everybody.
But that, in a way, that's kind of nice, because it's 2 separate families, so no one's blood related, and then they all found each other. That's kind of nice, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mike.
But when one break up with another one, it's a mess.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, if they break up, you're right.
Yeah.
Mike, is your family tree kind of wacky?
Oh, a little bit.
Let me hear.
I want to start out by saying I've seen you on HNN and nice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah, on the show Biz Tonight, right.
Yeah, I've got a kid, our cousin, whose wife left him for another one of our cousins, and there was a 8-year difference. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought that was bad until the first cousin got with his ex-mother-in-law.
No!
There's a 33-year difference.
33?
Oh, my gosh.
And that howl happened about 5 years ago. Now if you see one of them, you see all four of them.
Wow. And wait, are they still together, the woman and the young boy?
Yep.
Wow.
God, they're still together.
All four of them are, like, inseparable.
Well, they're in something.
We are close to West Virginia. So.
Incestuous, inseparable. What's the difference?
Wow.
It's all the same. Wow, Mike. Thank you. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how you doing?
Kevin, is your family tree kind of bent in wacky directions?
Oh, yeah.
How wacky?
Well, I have two cousins that are married that have the same grandfather.
Two cousins that the same grandfather?
Yes.
And how does the family feel about that?
Well, we just did find out about 5 years ago, and my cousin's been married for 25 years. They just celebrate their 25th anniversary.
And they're happy, and nobody seems to be upset with it.
No, because it's my mom's father. So
oh, I see.
Yeah, so my two cousins have the same great father.
Wow. I think that makes sense. I mean, at least they could figure out who's you know, relative. One's a little bit more logical.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And then, of course, my mom, she found out that she has brothers and sisters. That she's just, you know, my mom's 65 years old. And she's just now finding out she has brothers and sisters. But she said, thank God she didn't try to date one of them.
Oh.
Yeah, really? I think that's sad that she didn't find out until she was 65, because she could have had a relationship with those people her whole life.
Right.
You know, you kind of miss out there. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
Hey, now, Marie, how wacky is your family tree?
Oh, my God. 10 years ago when my grandmother died, I'm from Michigan, and we went up north to the UP where my grandmother was from.
Mm-hmm.
And at my grandma's funeral, my cousin went after my husband. And that was in July, and by September, he committed adultery. October, I kicked him out. The divorce was final the following March, but he's been living with her, her husband, her mother, and her five kids by three different men.
No.
In Utah for the last 9.5 years. And he is miserable, and he made his bed, he can lie in it.
That's right. Oh, you know, good riddance, Marie. Thank God you're free of that guy.
I know, but before all this happened, he was the most wonderful man in the entire world. And everybody, including his own family, was shocked that he did this because it was so out of character for him.
Mm.
His family kept me and got rid of him because he was... He even turned against our children.
That's not cool.
No,
yeah,
that's not true.
He's obviously, something happened to him, because you don't go from being a wonderful guy to being a complete jerk.
Where in the UP did this happen?
Calumet Laurier, Michigan.
I know it well.
You do?
Yep. All my family's Upers.
I'm a Finlander myself, don't you know?
Chad, do you understand what's going on here? I have no idea.
No.
No, but that...
I still have some family, the good side of the family, that still lives up there in the Laurium Calumet area.
My family's in Marquette.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm familiar with that. I love Touch of Finland and Marquette.
Yeah, see, you got to go get me a pasty and bring it down.
Okay.
Are you two cousins? Is something going on here? Should Mrs. Anthony worry? A little too familiar there. Hey, Eddie.
Hey.
Eddie, how weird and bent is your family tree?
Well, it's mainly because of me, I guess.
What'd you do?
Well, my ex-wife, double ex-wife, I married her. We was married for 7 years. We got divorced. She married my son-in-law's brother.
Hold on. Go. Your phone's breaking up. Go back.
Okay. She married my son-in-law's brother. And
son-in-law's brother, okay.
She was married to him for 5 years, and then she divorced him. I paid for both divorces, and then we got remarried for another seven years, and now we're divorced again.
And did she go back to him again?
No. Oh, gosh, no. No, as far as I know, she's single now. And so am I.
How you doing? Oh, Eddie.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I love my son-in-law, though. I just, you know, don't get along with his brother.
That's one wacky family tree.
Wow.
Oh, man.